It is my privilege to welcome to the Cornerstone stage. They call themselves Unseen, which seems different to me, but you can figure out whether you can see them or not. So, Ryan, are you the man in charge? So at this time, let's have a warm welcome to Ryan Arnold. Ryan, come on up.
As I said, we're called the Unseen. The point of that is just that, you know, you've got a lot of groups who get out and get on platforms and do performances, and it's for the attention on them. And that's not our goal. That's not our purpose. We realize that every gift that God has given is for us to turn it back and give Him the glory and the praise for it. So even though physically you see us, in a ministry sense, we want you to see Christ in what we do, and Him and Him alone. So I noticed Pastor said that, you know, next week, you have your normal service. That's just in case you don't like what we do. Just letting you know that's not the normal. Okay, so, hey, truth be told, whether you're old school or new school, it doesn't matter as long as God's the teacher. And we want to be learning from Him as He's the one that is just guiding us and giving us direction in how we invest the life that He's giving us right now. We're going to talk more about it later. Right now, what I want to do is I want to invite the team to come up, and they're going to introduce themselves. They're going to tell you what their name is and where they are from.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dakota, and I'm from Syracuse, New York.
Good morning. My name is Emily, and I'm from upstate New York.
Hi, I'm Peter. I'm from Smithtown, Long Island.
Hi, I'm Dorian. I'm from Glens Falls, New York.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dominic Stubb, and I'm from Watertown, New York.
My name is Jacob, and I'm from Michigan, and I just want to share a short testimony of the PI and how I came and use my experience here so far. So, a good little background. I grew up in a Christian family. My dad's actually a pastor of a Baptist church.
Amen.
His name is Pastor Mark, so that's ironic. Anyway, so yeah, I grew up in a Christian home, and I really look up to my dad, and he taught me really well. And growing up, I got saved at the age of 10, and I was a good kid. I didn't get into much trouble, and I thought I knew pretty much everything about God, and like I didn't really need to learn much more, and I had my plans set out for college. And I was like, well, God would want me to do something that I like to do, and God would want me to be happy and well off and make money. So I went off to a university to do mechanical engineering, and turns out that's not what God wanted me to do. I went there for 2 years, and I was just kind of ignoring what God wanted me to do, and I was kind of running away from His will. And then my second year there, I was just really struggling with what God was, you know, putting on my heart for the rest of my life. And I didn't want to make a decision without consulting Him. And I was talking to my dad. And he's like, have you considered Word of Life? And I was like, not really. They're always nagging me with phone calls and stuff. And so I really prayed about it. I made this sheet of, like, all my future decisions and, like, this timeline and branches. And Word of Life ended up being the one that, like, looked to be the best option. I'm a very logical thinker. And I was making the decision to go, and I finally did. And I really made that decision late, and I, like, 3 weeks before I came to the BI. And God really provided a way for me to go there. That's a really cool story, just how God, and what I've been learning at the BI this year is just really to trust in Him. I came with the focus to, like, I was like, all right, God, what do you want me to do for the rest of my life? And then God just sat me down, and He's like, you need to trust me with your daily life first. And I learned that how important just getting into His Word every day is, and just really awesome. And Word of Life is a place of opportunity. It's been really amazing to go on a tour with the band and just go on weekend ministries like this. And just to be able to minister to people and be ministered by them, and it's just awesome. And there's, even if I didn't make the band, there's so many different other opportunities of ministry that I could do. And for everyone else that could go there, I got the opportunity to go on a missions trip this year to Chile for a week during my spring break. And that was also a really crazy growing experience. I've never done evangelism like that before, and just to see the need for salvation in other country, in other countries. Also, just how to raise support and just see God provide through that. Word of Life is a place of opportunity, and I don't regret spending a year just in His Word. I'm looking to go to second year and spend a year applying what I've learned this year. They say the BI is like trying to drink out of a fire hose. you try to get it all, but you can only get a little bit, and because there's just so much pouring into you. And they keep you busy, but it's just a great experience, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. Thank you. Where do we?
All right, so what's going to happen now? We're going to share a couple of songs. You guys are welcome to stay seated, but if you catch on, sing along. Our first song is called All Because of Jesus.
Breath I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your worth. King over all the universe, to you be the glory. I'm alive because I'm alive in you. It is all because of Jesus I'm alive. It is all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Covers me and raises dead men's lives. It is all because of Jesus I'm alive. Giver of every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your worth. King over all the universe, to you be the glory. I'm alive because I'm alive in you. It is all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers me and raises dead man's life. It is all because of Jesus. Every sunrise sings your praise. The universe cries out your praise. I'm singing freedom all my days. Now that I'm alive, it is all because of Jesus I'm alive. And it's all because the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raises dead man's life. And it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. And it's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raises dead men's life. It is all because of Jesus I am alive.
Pray real quick. Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for the awesome, awesome opportunity that is to be here and praise your name. Lord, right now I pray as Ryan comes to speak, Lord, that you give him the words to speak. Give him just the message from you to convict the hearts of everyone here, Lord. Challenge us, encourage us, even lead us to you, God, if that's what we need. Lord, but right now, we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Awesome. All right, everybody doing okay? We're live? Everybody good? All right. Man, I just want to thank the Lord for that first song that they sang. It's all because of Jesus, I'm alive. And there's nobody in this room that can argue that God has been providing you breath, not just since you woke up, but the Bible says that the psalmist says he sustained me throughout the night. And as you're sleeping, God is still, he's just holding all things together and he's providing life. He is continually the sustainer of all things. That's awesome. That's awesome. We got a God who is worthy of our praise. And as we talked about earlier, like our goal, everything that we set out to do with the ministry of music, that's a platform. Music is fun. We love doing it. We love being able to have that that way to just express what we're feeling, what we want to sing about. But we all realize that all of that goes to the praise of the God who has given us those talents, the one who's giving us breath right now. So I know he just prayed, but I want to pray real quick and just ask the Lord to thank him. I want to thank the Lord, and I want to ask him to bless this time in our word, in his word. Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you for giving us breath. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Lord, we just want to praise you for who you are. And Lord, we do want to lift the cross high. We want to acknowledge what Christ did on the cross on our behalf, Lord. That is something that we should never stop praising you for. But at the same time, Lord, as we just celebrated, we also celebrate that the cross doesn't have anybody on it anymore. And nor does the tomb have anyone in it. Lord, we thank you that as Christians, we are the religion that serves a living Savior. God, I pray that with that acknowledgement, Lord, that you would just continue to guide us as your word teaches us and as your Holy Spirit guides us, Lord, in the life that you give us, to use it for the right reasons. Lord, I pray that as much as Satan wants to distract us, that he would not have that opportunity, that you would just give us the focus we need to hear from you and to obey you, Lord. And we love you. We ask that you would just speak to us through your word this morning. We pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, this is my favorite part of the meeting. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Haggai, chapter 1. Here at the Bible Institute, we're encouraged. We're always excited when we get to open up the Word. It is a choice. It is a choice to be excited about it. But it's something that when God is working through you, that you're excited about what he's written. You know this, but the Bible functions in many purposes. One is a history book. We look back and we see events in the past. It's also something that tells us about things in the future. But what we're going to talk about today is a past event that is going to challenge you in the present. Okay? So you probably all know this, but I'd rather be safe than sorry. Haggai, okay, was a prophet. And a prophet is like pastor in this Old Testament time, okay? So God would give the prophets a message to share with his people, the Israelites, and then that guy would kind of relay the message to them, and they would hear from God himself through that, okay? So that's Haggai's job. And in Haggai chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people, talking about the Israelites, say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Somebody tell me, what house is he talking about? The temple. Okay? Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet, and he said this, is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, while this house, the temple, lies in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. We're going to stop right there for right now. Okay, so we've got the people of Israel who basically what's happening is they go home and they see their house and there's a specific description. It said paneled houses. Paneled houses. Why would he distinguish it was a paneled house? Anybody? Anybody got an idea? What you got? Absolutely. Absolutely. They're adding on to their houses. They're taking things that, you know, okay, so here's my house, and you go home and you're like, you know what would be really good? I'd love to add another bedroom on the side there, and you know, or I'd love to you know, redo the kitchen. I'd love to get tile floor, you know, instead of whatever, you know. And so they're thinking of these things and they're improving something that they have. And it's almost like every day they're walking right by the ruins of the temple as they walk to their house, and they walk past it like, oh, that's a bummer. The temple's destroyed. Hey, my house, you know, maybe I should do this, you know. And they're just continually focused on their own house. And God, through the prophet of Haggai, the prophet Haggai says, he says, what you're doing is you're clothing yourselves, but no one is warm. You drink, but you never have enough. You eat, but you're never full. In verse 6, you've sown much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Can you imagine? You get your paycheck from work, and you go and you cash it at the bank, and then you go to put it in your wallet, and you got a little hole in your pocket. Anybody have one of those holes? You get a little hole in your pocket, and so you put it in there, and you're like, yeah, I just worked 2 weeks or a month or whatever to get these wages, and you put it in your pocket, and then as you walk away, it drops out of your pocket. It was just a waste of time, wasn't it? All that work for nothing, because you lost what you worked for. And so then you would say that what you put your time into, what you invested, it really came to nothing. And that's what God is. He's calling out the people of Israel through Haggai. He's saying, listen, you guys are investing so much stuff into your own lives. You're building your own houses up, and you're trying to find satisfaction in that. But it's the same as a guy who earns wages to put them into a bag that has holes, and it falls out, and he lost everything that he worked for. And I know there are many of you in this room that you have lived the Christian life far longer than I have. You've known Jesus far longer than I have. And there's probably nothing that I can tell you that you haven't heard. But I'll tell you what God's teaching me. Whenever I pursue something that is elevating self, something that is satisfying my own desires, something that is seeking to satisfy the flesh, it's not fulfilling. Let me tell you why. Have you ever you've ever set out on a task? Do we have any construction workers in here? Any construction? Praise the Lord. That's my dad. All right. My dad is a construction worker through and through. And so growing up, I would go out and I would work with my dad on stuff, you know, and he's doing all the hard work, and I would carry the trash over to, you know, it's like whatever, some little job that, okay, so we're doing these things. You set out on a task, and whether you're into construction, you could probably relate to this. You set out on a task, and there's this one job that my dad had that I was helping him with as much as I could, and we didn't complete. We had this one day to get this stuff done, and we didn't get it finished. And oh man, the car ride back home, my dad just, you know, didn't get it finished. We had plenty of time. We had this, and this didn't happen, and this person should have done this, and all that stuff. And it's so frustrating when you set out on a task, you have a purpose, you have a goal, and you don't accomplish it. Can anybody relate to that? You've got a goal, you've got something that you're trying to do, and you don't get it done. And man, if you're like me, you're losing sleep over that. Man, you're sitting in bed, and you're just like, oh, I can't believe I didn't get that done. And it's frustrating because you didn't complete the purpose that you set out for. And let me tell you this. I told the group in Sunday school this, but I grew up in Florida. And in Florida, everything is hot and flat and boring. I mean, there's certain places that are great, okay? But I didn't grow up in those places. So moving up to New York, where I live now, we're right in the middle of the Adirondacks. And I just never, I've lived up here 2 years, I never get tired of seeing the sunset over the mountains. Or when I walk up to my front door, like looking up, and the stars are just like all over the sky. I never get tired of seeing that. How many of you like art? Anybody like art? Okay, so let's say that there's this big mural on the wall over here, and you're going to see just this awesome painting that someone did. You don't come up to the painting and be like, oh, painting, you rock. Like, that's awesome. Good job making yourself. Well, that's silly. That's silly. We all know that the glory goes to the artist, right? And we've sung about it several times this morning, and that God created the sun, the moon, Jupiter, and Mars. You know, saying that in one week he made all those things. And in the song that the band did, that every sunrise sings your praise. Man, all of that is looking at the artwork, but it should point our attention to the artist. And let me tell you something, church. You are artwork. You are God's design. And so your purpose, the same way that God created the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, the planets, he made all of these things. He made it so that when we look at those things, we're like, wow, God, you are amazing. How impressed would you be if I just said banana and there's a banana? You'd be pretty impressed, right? Oh, I didn't know we had a magician in the church. Okay, so, or illusionist. You would be pretty impressed. I don't have that capability. But God spoke all of creation into existence. Man, that's impressive. And what it does is when I stop and I realize that, and even driving yesterday, and we're driving through Vermont, and as Emily was talking about earlier, we went past this big gorge, and you stand out on the bridge, and your stomach goes up into your throat because you're looking down this thing, and, oh, I hope I don't fall, and there's this huge river that's going through, and it's just amazing, and God's created all these things. And what it's meant to do is it's meant to point our attention to him, and it's meant to cause us to worship him. In the same way, you, child of God, are a part of his creation that is meant to glorify him, both in your design and in your life. And so your choices, your actions, your words, even your thoughts are things that God's design for you is to glorify him, is to worship him. Now here's the clincher, all right? How many of you know Tom Brady? Tom Brady, anybody? Anybody got set? Okay. All right, whether you like him or not, all right, I'm going to be careful here. Whether you like him or not, arguably one of the best quarterbacks the NFL has ever seen, all right? This guy knows how to throw a pigskin. And so Tom Brady in an interview, this guy has I think it's like a $60 million contract with the Patriots. He's got this really huge house that he lives in. He's got these nice cars. He dates a supermodel, or he's married to a supermodel. And now three championship rings, four championship rings. I mean, wow. Talk about a guy that the world looks at and says, wow, he's successful. I want to be like that. And how many people, especially young people, are pursuing that dream? With everything they've got, they're saying, "You know what? I want to live up to something. I want to matter. I want to succeed. I want people to be proud of me." And so they aspire with everything that they have to become like someone like Tom Brady, to get the money, to get the girl or the guy or the car or the house or whatever it is that they're aspiring to. Is this starting to sound familiar? What we just read? But Tom Brady in the interview, he says, he's like, all this stuff, I wish there was something more. Guys, I'm not anti-Tom Brady. My heart is broken for that man. And the reason he's not satisfied is because Tom Brady, just like you and I, was created for the purpose of glorifying God. And until he chooses to do that, he's not going to find satisfaction in the things that he has. And the same is true of us. I mean, we stayed with an awesome couple last night, and they've got this beautiful home, and we got to stay in this cool apartment, and we walk in, and we're like, oh, this is awesome, you know, and we love doing that. And I'm sure there are some families in here that praise God, you've been blessed, you've got a great family, and you've got these possessions, and you've got whatever these things are that you have, or maybe you don't have those things. And the issue is not how much you have, it's what do you do with what you have. And so I'm challenging you with this. Whether it's talents, whether it's money, whether it's relationships, whether it's opportunity that you have with your occupation. It doesn't matter to me if you're 9 years old or 90 years old. God is giving you breath, and the reason he is giving you breath is to glorify him as this awesome masterpiece that he's made. So here we have the Israelites, and they're doing these things. They're working so hard, and they're not finding satisfaction in it. And in verse 7, God says through Haggai, he says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord." Verse 9, "You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away." Pay attention to that, because I'm going to come back to it. "Why, declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away." This is God Almighty talking to his chosen people, saying that all of the things that you've pursued and the things that you've brought home trying to make yourself happy, I blew them away. And at first, that kind of seems pretty harsh. Man, I worked so hard to get this, and then you allowed me to lose it. I worked so hard to get this job, and then I just got let off. I worked so hard to get this possession, and I lost it, or someone stole it, or whatever it is. And we're just like, God, how could you do that? As you study who God is, you see he's a God of love. He's doing that out of love. He says, I'm not going to let you waste your life on things that you're not even going to be satisfied in. Your purpose is to glorify me. And so, I'm kind of addressing each person in this group, okay? That, you know, if you're younger and you're still in school, if you're, middle-aged, you're kind of locked into your career now, if you're retired, wherever you're at, God has you in that place, and he's got specific things that he's given you. He's given you those opportunities. He's given you the connections with people. Maybe he's placed you right next to those neighbors that you're just like, oh man, God, please. I don't know what it is, but he's given you those things for you to glorify him. And first and foremost, that's the vertical relationship between you and God. God, thank you. Maybe I don't have much, but I thank you for providing a roof over my head and clothes for me to cover myself with and food for me to eat. Thank you for providing everything that I need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. We can thank him, even if we've got little. And if I've got much, Lord, thank you for giving me this job. Thank you for giving me this money. Thank you for giving me whatever it is that you have. Thank you for giving me these things. May I use them for your glory. There's the vertical. Then there's the horizontal, you to me, okay? You to that next door neighbor, you to your coworker, you to your classmate, you to your family member. Whoever it is, that's the horizontal relationship where you say, let me tell you about the God that I serve. And we never, until we breathe our final breath here on earth, we never lose that commission that Christ gave us to go and spread the gospel. People can tell when you're faking it. If it's not happening here, it's not happening here. So our purpose at the Bible Institute, man, we want to be saturated with the Word of God. This book is living and active. And we want to see that come to fruition in our lives and the way that we live. And study it, learn it, memorize it. It's awesome. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so here's the challenge, okay? Like I said at the beginning, there's probably not, probably what I've told you today, these are not things that you haven't heard before, most of you. And you kind of know this. In the book of, I believe, 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, I'm going to make sure I don't misquote this. This is the word of God, and I don't want to get in trouble. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, Second Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Peter says, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, even though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it is right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. I feel the same way. I feel the same way as Peter. Actually, my first name is Peter. I go by my middle name, which is Ryan. No, so we're meshing here, okay, me and Peter. That as long as I have this body, as long as God has given me breath, I will remind you of the truth of God's word and your calling to worship him, to glorify him in your life. And if you've been a believer, I mean, I got saved when I was 8 years old, and I'm 25 now. And I've been through a lot of cool opportunities of ministry, and it's very easy for that to become habitual. It's very easy for it to become old hat. And as we look in Isaiah chapter 1, I don't have the time to go into it, but in Isaiah chapter 1, we see that the Israelites are making their offerings, they're doing their sacrifices, they're holding these meetings, and God says, these things disgust me. I don't want them anymore. And for the Israelites, they're confused. They're like, wait, isn't this what you told us to do? Aren't we supposed to do the sacrifices? Aren't we supposed to have these meetings? And they were, but God said, your heart is nowhere in it, and I don't want it. So child of God, this morning, if you are living the life that God has given you, he's giving you breath, that purpose is for you to glorify him. The purpose is not for you to go to church. The purpose is not for you to read the Bible. It's not for you to give money to missionaries. Before you throw me out for heresy, the purpose is to glorify God and to point people's attention to him, including your own. Are you living to build your paneled house? Are you living to build the house of God? And going to church, man, that's where we learn. Studying the word, that's where we hear from God. Giving to missionaries, that's where we push our brothers and sisters in Christ forward in their goal to go do maybe what we can't. So all those things are great, and those are ways that we can glorify God. That's a decision that starts here. So I want you to think through this. Man, you're hearing things that maybe you've heard before, maybe things that you're like, yeah, I know the truth. Listen, I'm just reminding you of what God's word says. And I love there's this great relief that comes with anybody who teaches the word of God, right, Pastor, that he has a promise that his word never returns void. And so anything that I've said, you can dismiss that. But don't you dare dismiss what God's told you. And because I care about you and I want you to experience the life that God has for you, man, I'm begging you, please take this to heart and ask God, show me where in my life am I just doing things because it's what I've always done? Or am I doing things because it's what I feel is right? Show me those areas so that I can be guided by your Holy Spirit to do those things that you know I should be doing, the things that you've set out for me to do. That's a challenge from Haggai. Do me a favor, every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to talk to you for a minute. So I'm gonna address three different groups, and everybody in the room should fit into one of these. There are those who already have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They know him, they've trusted him as personal Lord and Savior. And they know, they understand, hey, our purpose on earth is to glorify God in everything that we're doing. And you're making those decisions. Lord, take my actions, take my words, take my thoughts. May all of those be used for your glory. Man, praise God for that. That's awesome. That's awesome. We need that. Us at the Bible Institute, we need people like that we can look at and say, that's an example to follow. Keep on keeping on. Keep Christ the center. Second group, believers, people who have trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, but maybe they're not living that way. Maybe you're struggling to work on your paneled house. Maybe you're focused on what things satisfy you. The challenge this morning is just to say, Lord, show me those areas and help me change. Help me not waste a single breath on anything that does not bring you glory. And then the last group in this room is maybe someone, especially in a group this size, maybe someone who, you know what, maybe I've heard the truth, or maybe this is the first time I've heard the truth. I don't really have that relationship with God. I've never made that decision to trust him. And the challenge for you is, what are you waiting for? Man, you've had signs all around you all morning long. As you woke up and you breathed in the breath that God is giving you, and you stepped outside and you saw the beautiful sky. You saw these things, and God is giving you those things for the purpose to glorify him. He's saying, what are you waiting for? And we want you to trust Christ today. We want you to realize that that Christ, as you read through the Bible, you see the story of how God made things to be perfect, and then sin, man chose to sin, and it ruined that perfect, sinless fellowship that we have with, that we had with God. And from then on, it was like, what do we do now? But God, instead of giving up on us, decided to send his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, down to earth to become a human. And he lived 33 years on earth, and in that time, at the end of his life, he chose to take our place. Where our sin deserves death, Christ took that penalty. That's awesome. And on the cross, he paid for your sin, not just the ones you've already committed, but the ones that you will commit. He said, you know what? Every sin, I'm paying for it. And thank God he didn't stay there. Man, he didn't stay there in the tomb. But on the third day, he rose again, demonstrating power over death. Man, that is the God that we serve. And the challenge for you is will you trust in him? Will you stop relying on your own works and your own deeds to get yourself to heaven? Because the Bible says we can't do that. The only way is through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, trusting him as Lord and Savior. So we want to invite you to make that decision this morning. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for a body of believers who will study your word and live it out and proclaim it. God, I pray that you would just ignite this church even more, that they would be so passionate about sharing the gospel with anyone they get a chance to and living it out in their lives. And even if telling 100 people nobody responds, God, may they see that they're glorifying you by telling it. May they focus on the obedience side of things, just as Jesus did, and not focus on the results. That's your job. That's your work. The results belong to you, and we trust you with it. So I pray for the believers in this room, Lord, that you would just spur them on to more love and good deeds and showing the love of Christ to everyone they get a chance to. God, I pray for the non-believers in this room that they would choose to trust you this morning, to see, you know what? What am I waiting for? There's no reason for me not to trust in Jesus Christ. I want to stop living my life to build a paneled house, and I want to start using it to build the house of God, to fulfill the purpose for which I was created, and to glorify him in that way. And God, your word says, Jesus says, that he came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly, life to the fullest. And that is that life, that life of surrender to accomplishing the purpose that Jesus has created us for. So if you're in this room, I just want to, if you're a non-believer, if it's something where, man, I'm not a Christian, and I'm not really sure, some of this stuff is confusing me. First off, I want to say that if you've got any questions, please come talk to us afterwards. Any of us from the Word of Life team or anybody from the church would love to talk to you about that and explain that. But if you're not a Christian in this room this morning, and you decide, you know what, today is the day of salvation, as the Word says, just pray this after me. It's not the words that you say. It's not a magic prayer or anything like that. It's just the confession of your heart. Say something. You can say it in your own words and say it to yourself. Just something like this: Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking my place on the cross. Thank you for raising again from the dead on the third day, demonstrating power over death. God, I want to trust my life into your hands. I want to stop living to build my own house, and I want to start living to build your house. I want to live for your glory the way that you designed me to. Thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Please keep your heads down. If there's anybody in this room that today you made that decision, do me a favor, okay? I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to draw any attention to you in this way. But if today you made that decision, would you just look up at me? Just make eye contact with me. Anybody in this room, today I made that decision to trust Jesus. Make sure you connect with me. Is that a decision you made? Cool. Praise God. It's awesome. Best decision you ever make. Anybody else? God, I want to trust you with my life. I want to stop living for self. Anybody make that decision today? For those of you that did not look at me and make that decision, what you're telling me is that's the decision you've already made, and you fit into one of those first two categories. And my prayer is that you would decide today, whatever I've been doing today, I'm going to live my life for God's glory, for His alone. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word, for teaching us. I thank you for the opportunity to worship you in our lives, Lord. Pray that we would be faithful as we've been hearing things from your word today and just been challenged. Lord, I pray that we would not leave all of that in here, but that we'd take it with us as we go. That Christ would be glorified in our lives. Every breath that we have, we would give it back to you in worship. We love you so much, God, and we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, Pastor.
Invitation at this time, and obviously the altar will be open if God's spoken to you. You know, you've heard Ryan speak in a way and heard music this morning in a way that is not normal for this church, and that's terrific because sometimes you just need to hear it from a different angle, from a different direction. But the gospel is still clear. It's still real. Patti Loveless used to sing a song. This will be real intelligent for you. I can't get no satisfaction, and my tractor can't get no traction. Well, that's a Haggai message. I'm just not satisfied. I can't, everything I'm doing, my wheels are spinning. I can't seem to get where I'm going. And why is everything I do seems to be a failure? And you have to consider, is God in what you're doing? And I'll tell you what, I hope every one of us leaving this room today would say, I want God leading me and guiding me and making my life count. Haggai said, consider your ways. And really, that's what the altar is for us to consider our ways, to make sure that God is blessing what we're doing. I want that, don't you? Amen? All right, go ahead and stand with us. We'll have an invitation. This altar is open, folks. This is your altar. Use it as you will.
Take my
are baptizing this morning, so if you go ahead and have a seat, we'll be down in a minute.
We have with us this morning Mike and Jen Withy and Mike Dunn. Jen, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
Jen, upon your public profession of Christ as Savior, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of Jesus, free to walk in newness of life. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yeah.
Mike, upon your public profession of Christ as Savior, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, bearing the likeness of Jesus' death, raised to walk in newness of life. This is Big Mike. Mike, do you know the Lord as Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes, I do.
Mike, upon your public profession of Christ as Savior, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, bearing the likeness of Jesus' death, and raised to walk in the newness of life.
That's good news right there. I was a freshman in college 8 years before you were born, Ryan. So, but I'll tell you this, and we'll go with this. I think of the people that I went to college with, and I don't keep in touch with them. I don't know where they went, obviously spread across the country. I just hope that they're still serving the Lord. You know, that's my only desire for them is I hope that we all had dreams when we were young, especially calls to preach and things, and I hope that they pursued them. I hope that they did that. I hope they're out there serving the Lord now. And the Word of Life group that's here this morning, we need you. We need young people coming up in the ranks. We need you. We're getting old. And we need you coming behind us. And stay faithful. Stay true. In 35 years, I want to know that you're still serving the Lord. And if the Lord tarries, may your tribe increase. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time in your house this morning. Thank you for decisions for Christ, for baptisms, for young people that are serving you. And God, I pray that you would use them as you already have. And we know that you want to and pray that you will. So watch over our church today. Give us a great afternoon. Bring us back again this evening to listen to this group once again. Minister to us. God bless them. Thank you for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks.